The science of trust isn't merely academic. It's the invisible architecture supporting every meaningful relationship in our lives. John Gottman, renowned for his ability to predict divorce with over 90% accuracy after watching couples interact for just minutes, has spent 4 decades studying what makes relationships succeed or fail. In this groundbreaking work, he reveals that trust, not communication skills or conflict resolution, is the fundamental element that determines whether relationships thrive or wither. Described by Malcolm Gladwell as the relationship expert who can thin-slice marriages, Gottman's research has transformed how therapists approach couples therapy worldwide. This book represents the missing piece in his influential Sound Relationship House theory, explaining why some couples remain happily connected for decades, while others, despite similar challenges, spiral into disconnection and betrayal. Trust isn't just an emotional concept, it can be measured with mathematical precision. John Gottman's groundbreaking research applies game theory principles to quantify trust in relationships, fundamentally challenging traditional assumptions about how humans behave in emotional interactions. Working alongside mathematician James Murray, Gottman developed sophisticated metrics that precisely measure trust, untrustworthiness, and betrayal in couples' daily interactions, transforming abstract relationship dynamics into measurable data points. The trust metric examines how one partner's behavioral changes affect the other's emotional experience across multiple dimensions. When trust is high, partners become active agents in each other's emotional regulation, helping move from negative states to positive ones through specific actions and responses. In mathematical terms, trust exists when your partner's behavioral changes significantly improve your emotional payoffs. They consistently demonstrate genuine concern for your well-being through actions that benefit both parties. This can be measured through detailed behavioral coding systems that track everything from facial expressions to verbal responses. This mathematical approach revealed a counterintuitive discovery about relationship dynamics. While happy couples behave rationally during conflict, increasing behaviors that yield positive outcomes and decreasing those that don't, unhappy couples paradoxically increase their engagement in negative exchanges, despite rating these interactions more painfully than happy couples do. This seemingly irrational behavior occurs because negative interactions become an absorbing state for distressed couples, similar to checking into a roach motel where entry is easy but exit becomes increasingly difficult. The mathematical models show how these patterns become self-reinforcing cycles that trap couples in destructive interaction patterns. Through extensive research across thousands of couples, Gottman's team identified precise percentages of interaction strategies. 50.7% of couples employed cooperative strategies during conflict, working toward mutual gain or accepting mutual loss, while 8.6% engaged in zero-sum interactions, where one partner's gain exactly equals the other's loss, and 40.7% used mixed strategies, combining both approaches. These patterns strongly correlate with relationship outcomes. Most strikingly, couples trapped in zero-sum game patterns showed 11 times higher mortality rates for husbands compared to those maintaining cooperative relationships, highlighting the profound physical health implications of relationship dynamics. The application of game theory to relationships has fascinating historical parallels in the Cold War era, where two brilliant mathematicians represented opposing philosophical approaches to human interaction. John von Neumann, who contributed to nuclear weapons development and advocated for preventive strikes against the Soviet Union, emphasized competition and self-interest in his game theory applications. In contrast, Anatole Rapoport dedicated his career to understanding how to maximize cooperation in conflict situations, developing mathematical models that demonstrated the superiority of collaborative strategies. Their contrasting worldviews, mirroring the fundamental difference between unhappy and happy couples, reflect deep-seated orientations toward either competition or cooperation in human interaction, with profound implications for both personal relationships and global conflict resolution. Trust isn't just psychological. It's deeply rooted in our physiology and nervous system responses. When couples experience low trust, their bodies enter a heightened state of physiological arousal that mirrors the stress response to physical danger. Groundbreaking research conducted at the University of Washington shows that unhappy couples had husbands with heart rate 17 beats per minute higher during conflict discussions than those in stable marriages. This elevation is significant because once heart rate exceeds 100 beats per minute, the body begins secreting adrenaline and other stress hormones, triggering cascading fight-or-flight responses that severely compromise cognitive and emotional functioning. This physiological arousal creates what relationship scientists call emotional flooding, an overwhelming state where individuals feel defensive, attacked, and desperate to escape the situation. Men typically experience more intense flooding than women, largely due to their greater physiological reactivity to stress. This gender difference helps explain why men are statistically more likely to stonewall, emotionally withdraw, during heated arguments. When flooded, crucial social abilities become impaired. Humor disappears, creative problem-solving shuts down, and empathy becomes nearly impossible. Even basic listening skills deteriorate as the body prioritizes survival over connection. The remarkable connection between trust and physiology was elegantly demonstrated in James Cohen's hand-holding studies at the University of Virginia. Female participants received mild electric shocks while in an fMRI machine under three conditions: holding hands with their spouse, an unfamiliar experimenter, or no one. The brain's threat response showed dramatically different patterns based on relationship quality. With a trusted spouse, the brain's danger signals nearly disappeared completely. With a moderately trusted partner, there was partial activation, and with strangers, full threat response occurred, highlighting how deep trust literally changes how our brains process threat. Oxytocin, often called the trust hormone or bonding molecule, appears to be the biological mechanism underlying these effects. This neuropeptide reduces stress hormone production and potentially deactivates fear circuits in the amygdala, creating a neurochemical foundation for trust. Multiple studies demonstrate that intranasal oxytocin administration increases positive behaviors like eye contact and emotional disclosure during couple conflicts while reducing cortisol levels. However, oxytocin's effects aren't universally positive. In competitive or adversarial situations, it can actually increase negative emotions like gloating and envy, suggesting it might amplify existing relationship dynamics rather than universally promoting trust. The health implications of these biological trust patterns are profound and far-reaching. Gottman's landmark 20-year study with Levinson and Karstensen revealed that couples trapped in zero-sum game dynamics had dramatically higher mortality rates. Husbands in these low-trust, high-conflict relationships faced 11 times higher odds of early death compared to those in cooperative relationships, even after controlling for age, health status, and other risk factors. This finding aligns with a broader body of research showing that trusting relationships provide powerful health benefits, improved immune function, cardiovascular health, and stress resilience. Conversely, chronic distrust, loneliness, and social isolation are as reliable predictors of early mortality as smoking or obesity, underscoring how deeply our biological systems depend on secure social bonds. How couples tell their relationship story reveals whether they're headed for happiness or heartbreak. Gottman calls this the story of us switch, a powerful psychological indicator that serves as a litmus test for cumulative trust or distrust. Through the oral history interview, seemingly innocuous questions about a couple's relationship history reveal profound insights into their bond's viability. Working with Kim Buhlman, Gottman developed dimensions for quantitatively describing what people said during these interviews and how they said it. The most fundamental aspect was the presence or absence of the fondness and admiration system. When intact, couples express warmth, humor, and affection, emphasizing good times together. When dead, partners express negativity, cynicism, or criticism, often choosing to describe unfavorable first impressions or interactions. Other dimensions include we-ness versus me-ness, using we versus I language, the existence of detailed love maps, knowing your partner's inner world, whether the relationship has purpose and meaning versus chaos, and expressions of satisfaction versus disappointment. Statistical analysis revealed all five dimensions essentially fell on one giant factor, with over 80% of variation accounted for by a single story of us dimension. This allowed researchers to predict divorce or stability with 94% accuracy. The key insight is that couples either emphasize their good times together while minimizing bad times, or emphasize bad times while minimizing good ones. What matters isn't whether couples experienced only positive events, but how they interpreted both positive and negative experiences in their shared history. This story becomes carved in granite and powerfully affects relationship outcomes as memories get reworked to fit the present narrative. A positive switch acts as a strong buffer against momentary irritability, while a negative switch means that even dramatic positive changes in partner behavior may be viewed as temporary aberrations. The oral history switch is a reliable indicator of when couples should consider ending their relationship or when they need to transform how they perceive their shared journey. Trust is built through the skill of attunement across three relationship contexts: everyday interactions, sliding door moments, regrettable incidents involving negative emotions, and conflict discussions. Each context presents micro trust tests where trust either builds or erodes over time. Attunement was discovered through research on meta-emotion, how people feel about feelings. While universal emotional expressions exist across cultures, anger, sadness, disgust, contempt, fear, interest, and happiness, there is enormous variation in how people feel about these emotions. Some are dismissing of emotions, while others are attuning. The ATTUNE acronym captures six dimensions of this skill: awareness of emotion, responding to smaller displays without blame, turning toward emotions, seeing them as opportunities for intimacy, tolerance of emotional experience, accepting negative feelings, understanding the emotion, grasping its meaning and source, non-defensive listening, hearing without defensiveness, empathy, feeling what the partner feels. Though not complex, attunement requires a philosophical shift from dismissing emotions to understanding them. For speakers, this means expressing feelings neutrally and converting complaints into positive needs. For listeners, it means maintaining curious engagement rather than defensiveness. In sliding door moments, small turning points that create different relationship trajectories, partners make bids for connection that can be responded to by turning toward, away, or against. Research shows couples who eventually divorced turn toward their partner's bids only 33% of the time, while couples who remained married did so 86% of the time. With regrettable incidents, attunement requires first calming down, then processing what happened through six steps: sharing feelings, describing subjective realities without blame, accepting responsibility, identifying triggers, explaining why these triggers exist, and making constructive plans for next time. During conflict, attunement involves expressing appreciation before addressing issues, postponing persuasion until each person can accurately state their partner's position, expressing feelings neutrally, and converting complaints into positive needs. When negative events aren't properly processed through attunement, the Zeigarnik effect causes them to be repeatedly remembered and mentally rehearsed. Trust erodes as cognitive dissonance develops between staying in the relationship and experiencing persistent negative emotions. This dissonance gets resolved by attributing lasting negative traits to one's partner, most commonly selfishness, directly eroding trust. Effective repair may be the single most critical process for long-term relationship satisfaction, serving as the emotional glue that helps couples bounce back from inevitable conflicts and misunderstandings. Research by Driver and Tabarez developed a comprehensive coding system for repair attempts during conflict, categorizing them into cognitive approaches, appealing to logic, presenting facts, suggesting solutions, and affective approaches, creating emotional closeness through warmth and connection. Their groundbreaking findings revealed that emotional repair attempts proved far more effective than cognitive ones across diverse couples and situations. Specific affective strategies showed remarkable success. Genuine displays of affection, statements of agreement, well-timed humor, vulnerable self-disclosure, demonstrated empathy, verbal reassurance, explicit taking of responsibility, and "we're okay" statements that reinforce the relationship's foundation. Humor emerged as a particularly powerful tool, whether initiated by either partner, while understanding statements from husbands showed special potency in decreasing negative affect and de-escalating tensions. Timing proved to be crucial in repair effectiveness. Preemptive repairs deployed within the first 3 minutes of conflict showed the highest success rates, while repair attempts made later in heated exchanges rarely succeeded. This early window appears critical because partners are less physiologically aroused and more emotionally accessible. The partner's response to repair attempts emerged as perhaps even more important than the initial repair gesture. Accepting and acknowledging repair attempts within those first 3 minutes created powerful positive momentum that shaped the entire interaction. The affective climate established in those critical first 3 minutes strongly predicted the entire conversation's trajectory and ultimate resolution. This timing element helps explain why researchers can predict divorce with startling accuracy 6 years after the wedding by analyzing just the first 3 minutes of a couple's conflict discussion. Unhappy couples typically begin conflicts in attack mode, leading to escalating cycles of attack and defensiveness that make successful repair increasingly difficult as negativity becomes self-reinforcing. The sound relationship house theory's predictions were strongly supported by the research. Couples who maintained high-quality friendships, built through consistent attention to bids for connection and nurturing a strong sense of we-ness, demonstrated significantly greater success with repair attempts. The ability to manage conflicts collaboratively depends heavily on how couples cultivate friendship and intimacy outside of conflictual moments, when negative affect and physiological arousal are lower. Partners who view each other as fundamentally friendly allies, even during disagreements, repair more effectively than those who see each other as adversaries. Successful repair also requires specific skills: timing awareness, emotional literacy, self-soothing capacity, and the ability to both offer and receive repair attempts gracefully. Couples who master these skills transform potentially damaging conflicts into opportunities for greater understanding and connection, approaching disagreements with the mindset of temporarily annoyed friends rather than permanent adversaries. Betrayal typically begins with subtle, almost imperceptible shifts in how we view our partner compared to others. Thibault and Kelly's groundbreaking research introduced the concept of comparison level for alternatives, CLALT, a psychological mechanism where people continuously evaluate their relationship satisfaction against perceived alternatives. This evaluation includes not just potential romantic partners, but also the imagined freedom of being single or idealized versions of past relationships. When relationship benefits exceed alternative options, commitment naturally strengthens. However, this dynamic works both ways. People experiencing relationship difficulties often overestimate the benefits they might find elsewhere, while simultaneously minimizing the positive aspects of their current partnership. This cognitive distortion creates a dangerous feedback loop that can accelerate relationship deterioration. The process of cherishing serves as a powerful protective mechanism in healthy relationships. Partners who actively practice cherishing engage in specific behaviors. They share positive stories about their relationship with others, mentally replay happy memories when apart, and actively appreciate their partner's unique qualities. This creates what relationship experts call an emotional fortress that naturally deflects potential threats to the relationship. Conversely, partners heading toward betrayal engage in trashing, a systematic devaluation of their relationship. This manifests in multiple ways. They focus disproportionately on their partner's flaws, romanticize past relationships, and gradually erode relationship boundaries. Common examples include sharing intimate details with others, seeking emotional support outside the relationship, and maintaining inappropriate connections with ex-partners. Affairs rarely begin with dramatic declarations or sudden passion. Instead, they typically evolve through a series of small boundary violations that people justify to themselves. Shirley Glass's research identifies specific warning signs. Increased emotional distance, selective sharing of daily experiences, and the creation of private spaces that exclude the primary partner. This process creates what Glass terms walls and windows, where emotional walls go up between partners while windows of vulnerability open to others. The healing journey after betrayal requires reconstructing the relationship from its foundation. This process unfolds in three distinct phases. 1. Crisis management and stabilization. Expressing genuine remorse through specific actions, not just words. Establishing radical transparency and communication and activities. Creating mutual understanding of how the betrayal occurred. And implementing immediate boundary changes to ensure safety. 2. Understanding and reversal. Detailed disclosure of the betrayal within appropriate therapeutic boundaries, identifying and meeting previously unmet emotional needs, actively turning toward each other's bids for connection, and rebuilding shared experiences and positive memories. 3. Trust reconstruction and intimacy. Engaging in deep, meaningful conversations about fears and hopes, increasing mutual investment in the relationship's future, developing new patterns of physical and emotional intimacy, and creating relationship-specific rituals and traditions. Research by Balcom and Christensen demonstrates that while couples dealing with infidelity initially show lower relationship satisfaction than other distressed couples, they can achieve comparable or even better outcomes through structured therapeutic intervention. The healing process, while incredibly challenging, offers an opportunity for profound relationship transformation when both partners fully commit to the work required. Intimate trust extends beyond general relationship trust to include emotional and sexual connection. The author defines romance as nurturing thoughts that cherish one's partner as special and irreplaceable, and passion as cultivating strong interest and desire for one's specific partner. This distinction is crucial because it emphasizes the uniqueness of each relationship rather than generic expressions of romance. Unlike some theorists who advocate emotional distance for eroticism, Gottman's research shows that for many couples, emotional connection and friendship enhance sexual satisfaction. His groundbreaking studies of new parents revealed that couples with good sex lives 3 years after having a baby maintained intimate conversations, daily affection, and emotional connection. These couples consistently engaged in what Gottman calls turning toward behaviors, responding to their partner's emotional bids for attention, understanding, and connection even during challenging times. Research demonstrates that discussing sex correlates strongly with relationship happiness, particularly for women. In one comprehensive study, 50% of women who discussed sexual feelings with their husbands reported high relationship satisfaction, compared to just 9% who didn't. These conversations make sex personal by exploring individual preferences, boundaries, and dislikes rather than following a standardized model. Successful couples learn to create a safe space for these discussions, often starting with smaller topics and gradually building trust for more vulnerable conversations. Masters and Johnson's research on human sexual response created a standard model of sex with distinct phases, excitement, plateau, orgasm, and resolution, that established benchmarks for sexual competence and dysfunction, inadvertently creating performance anxiety. This clinical approach, while groundbreaking for its time, led many couples to feel inadequate when their experiences didn't match the prescribed pattern. By contrast, Share Heights' revolutionary research found that 70% of women didn't regularly experience orgasm through intercourse alone. Her findings challenged the dominant narrative by showing that women's sexual satisfaction was often impeded by their male partner's rigid adherence to the standard model rather than any inherent dysfunction. What complicates sex isn't anatomy, but the emotional connection that enables excitement, playfulness, vulnerability, and eroticism. This connection requires trust, which develops through open communication about desires, needs, and boundaries. Despite its importance, many couples struggle with direct sexual communication, speaking so vaguely about sex that observers can't tell what they're discussing. Successful couples learn to overcome this barrier by developing their own comfortable language for sexual communication, often starting with nonverbal cues and gradually building to more explicit verbal communication. The most sexually satisfied couples maintain what researchers call sexual currency, regular exchanges of affection, flirtation, and intimate conversation that keep their connection alive outside the bedroom. They understand that sexual intimacy is nurtured through daily emotional connection rather than isolated physical encounters. Using sophisticated mathematical modeling, Gottman and his team measured power asymmetry across positive and negative affect in couples, revealing intricate dynamics of relationship health. The findings demonstrated that when husbands wielded more power through negative affect, relationships exhibited multiple concerning patterns. Increased gender stereotyping in daily interactions, significantly greater emotional inertia in wives, meaning they stayed stuck in negative states longer, markedly less effective repair attempts from husbands during conflicts, and noticeably lower positivity in wives during challenging interactions. The mathematical approach employs nonlinear differential equations to conceptualize precise mechanisms of interaction, a groundbreaking method in relationship science. These equations express detailed mechanisms of how couples' interactions evolve over time, requiring two interconnected equations, one for each partner, to capture the full complexity of the relationship. The comprehensive model incorporates multiple components, self-influence factors, including personality traits, attachment style, and relationship history, partner influence elements, reflecting power dynamics and emotional responsiveness, and external influence variables, such as stress and life circumstances. Phase space mapping provides a sophisticated visual representation of couple interaction patterns divided into four distinct quadrants showing different affective states: mutual positivity, mutual negativity, husband positive, wife negative, and wife positive, husband negative. Within this space, attractors function as stable, steady states where couple interactions naturally gravitate, similar to emotional habits that become ingrained over time. The bilateral model typically produces two primary stable state states, one positive, characterized by warmth, humor, and affection, and one negative, marked by criticism, defensiveness, and withdrawal. Extensive research revealed dramatically different vector spaces for three distinct types of couples. Successfully married couples demonstrated a phase space with only one positive stable attractor. Relationship forces consistently moved them toward constructive outcomes regardless of their starting point. Chronically unhappy couples exhibited only one negative stable attractor, with interaction patterns inevitably pulling them toward destructive exchanges. Couples headed for divorce showed three separate negative attractors, creating complex but universally negative conflict outcomes, essentially emotional quicksand from which they couldn't escape. The model effectively explains sudden relationship changes through mathematical catastrophe theory. A couple's interaction quality may gradually deteriorate until they cross a critical threshold where their positive attractor completely vanishes. When this catastrophic shift occurs, every attempt at conflict resolution inevitably degenerates into negativity, creating a self-reinforcing cycle of relationship destruction. The implications are profound. Marriages where husbands maintain greater power through negative affect and where wives lack reciprocal influence capacity create fundamental trust deficits. This power imbalance manifests in multiple ways: reduced emotional safety, compromised communication patterns, and diminished relationship satisfaction. The mathematical evidence strongly suggests that equal power distribution, particularly in handling negative emotions, is crucial for maintaining trust and relationship stability.